If you have your Bibles tonight, there's some verses of Scripture that's on our heart. It's found in the book of Lamentations. I've been preaching a series of messages entitled New Things. And I don't know how many we've preached, maybe four. This might be the fifth one or so. But New Things tonight is still on my heart out of the book of Lamentations, a very familiar piece of Scripture, Lamentations chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 18 tonight. Lamentations 3, verse number 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Here's our verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Amen. The title of the message tonight is New Mercies. Thank God for the new mercies that you and I receive each and every day. I think about Jeremiah. He's our writer here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He knew that Israel had failed God. He knew that because of their sin, God had allowed Israel to be taken away into captivity. And because of the captivity, they're filled with bitterness and brokenness. Their strength is completely perished. They live in misery and in affliction. But Jeremiah, he recalled the mercies of God in the middle of bitterness, in the middle of brokenness. He thinks about the mercies of Almighty God. And as he does, it gave him much needed hope. And so tonight, if you're going through bitterness and brokenness and affliction and bondage, I want you to recall the mercies of God and you'll be encouraged. Now, Jeremiah, I believe he's thinking back. They're going into captivity. He's thinking about another time that Israel was in captivity. You remember it? When Israel was in the bondage of Egypt. They were afflicted there for 400 years in Egypt, and they cried unto the Lord. And as they cried out unto the Lord, we know, thank God, that the Lord raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses. And Moses was used of God, and God allowed the people of Israel to be set free from the bondage and the oppression and the affliction which was in Egypt. And they got out of the wilderness, and on their way, they began to doubt God. They began to go back into fear and not live by faith. And for this, God calls them to wander 40 years throughout that wilderness there. Now, Jeremiah's thinking that the God that we serve released Israel from captivity of 400 years. And now they're 40 years in bondage. And he knows that God can do something for them, though they're in captivity in Babylon. Now let's think, let's go back to the book of Numbers. Will you turn with me back to the book of Numbers? I want to turn to chapter number 20 in the book of Numbers, and I want to begin to read verse number 7 out of the book of Numbers, chapter 20. The Bible says, now this is during their thirsting and their wandering through the middle of the desert there in the wilderness, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I gave them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now here we find Moses in a dilemma. There had been a previous time when the children of Israel was thirsting that he went before God and God said, I want you to smite the rock with the rod. And when he did, water came out and everybody, all the animals, they had something, plenty to drink. And here they are years later, months later, however long the term was, and they're thirsting again. They've come back to the rock and God says, Moses, this time I want you to speak to the rock. Don't smite it, speak to the rock. But Moses said to the people, you bunch of rebels, must we fetch you water from this rock? And rather than speak to the rock, he smote the rock. And therefore we see Moses in a time of failure. Let's go back to Lamentations. Jeremiah felt like he and Israel had failed. He's thinking about the scripture, and here's Moses in the middle of failure. I'm thinking about God gives new mercies to those of us when we have failed. I want to think, number one, there is the problem of failure. We understand that Moses and Israel have failed God. Moses has disobeyed God terribly. I think about Moses for just a second. A couple of things about his failure. It is a privileged failure. There's a real problem when we fail. I'm not taking failure lightly. It's a very serious matter when we fail. Listen, I have a scripture out of Amos that I wrote down. I want you to hear this. Amos chapter 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You hear that? God said, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. Why? Because there's a closeness. There's a covenant between God and the people of Israel. For 40 years, Moses had experienced the power of God. He had been released from the bondage of Egypt. Remember that time they came to the Red Sea? God supernaturally parted the waters of the Red Sea. Think about the plagues that came down on Egypt. Moses saw every one of them, the death of the firstborn, as they put the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel of the house, and God passed over them when he saw the blood. Think about the miracle of the manna that fell from heaven out of the middle of the wilderness. Think about the water from the rock we've been speaking about. Think about how their shoes never even wore out for 40 years. Their shoes were not worn. Moses has truly seen miracle after miracle. Moses has experienced the power of God. And here's a man who's privileged to experience the power of God, and he takes matters into his own hands and he disobeys God and he fails. This is the very end of his ministry. They're 40 years in the wilderness. They're getting ready to cross over basically into the promised land. Right here at the end, he experiences failure. And it's a privileged failure. A man who's seen all these miracles and now he's quit on God. Might I remind you, church, saint of God, how you've been privileged to see the power of God, to experience his might, to experience the moving power of the Spirit of God, to experience miracle after miracle, blessing after blessing. God has forgiven us of our sins, and God has given us salvation. And after all he's done for us, if we were to fail him now, it's a privileged failure. It's not only a privileged failure, but it's a public failure. Moses said in verse 10, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water for you out of this rock?" This was not done in private. His failure was public. Listen, publicly, Psalms 37, verse 2, the wicked watches the righteous. The world is looking for you to fail, friend. The world will not rejoice when you're doing right. But when you do wrong and you fail, they're going to jump on it. They're going to proclaim it. They're going to publish it. They're going to mock it. They're going to ridicule you for it. It was a public failure. It was a prideful failure. Have another verse, maybe two verses. Psalm 106, verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife. so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Hear me. It wasn't Moses that was fetching the water for the children of Israel. It was God that was doing it. How is it that after God has done so much for you and I, that all of a sudden we think we can handle it? We think we're going to do it. Friend, I'm telling you something. You better not forget where you came from and who brought you to where you are and who's going to take you the rest of the way. My Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, verse number 6, that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. It's a prophetic failure. And I'm going to tell you why. Moses broke the type of God, the type that God wants to teach. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? You remember? Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, that Jesus is that spiritual rock that followed him. And that rock was Christ. That's what the Bible says. It's a type. Jesus, as the rock, was smitten on the cross one time for all times. He'll never have to be smitten again. All we need to do is speak to him and call upon him. But Moses, he smote the rock once. Now here another time, when God says speak to it, he smote it. God help. He was breaking the type that God was going to use. It's a prophetic failure. You see, failure is serious. It's a profane failure. Look back at verse 9 in the book of Numbers chapter 20. Moses took the rod from before the Lord. Now Moses has got that rod in his hands. Let's think about that rod. Remember that rod? That rod, God caused it to supernaturally, that which was dead, that which was cut off, God caused it to supernaturally bud and bloom. The rod of God is the approval, the stamp of the approval of God on the ministry of Moses. And God has Moses take the rod, and when Moses takes the stamp of the approval of Almighty God, he uses it to disobey God. He mishandled the things of God. Friend, I'm talking to you about someone tonight. Failure is very problematic. Failure is very serious. It, to me, most importantly, it is a perplexing failure. And I'm going to tell you why. The Bible says in the book of Numbers chapter 12 that Moses was very meek. In fact, he was very meek above all men that were upon the earth. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And the devil attacked him. Now, most of the time, my experience has been the devil attacks the weak, or the weak area of my life, or maybe he attacks the weak area of your life. But there have been times that the devil will attack that which is a strength. You need to write this down. An unguarded strength is a weakness. And the devil will attack an unguarded strength to try to tear you down. Here's Moses, the meekest man. I mean, he's got a low, humble spirit. But now, what is it? That strength that he has, it's provoked. And in anger, he acts out. And now he's failed. I'm not saying it's okay to fail. Failure is a serious offense to Almighty God. Number one, there is the problem of failure. Number two, in these verses, I see the pain of failure. You know, it's sad to see the servant of God fail. For there's a pain that goes with that failure. I'm going to give you an example. Many, many years ago, Miss Gina and I had taken Luke to the doctor. He had a seriously high fever. We could not get it to go down. We thought about taking him to the hospital, but we called the doctor and they said, bring him to the office. And there we sat in the waiting room. And as we sat there, Luke is leaning on my chest and my shoulder, and he's just lifeless and lethargic. And Luke's always been a bundle of energy, and he's laying there. And a well-dressed businessman walks into that office. He goes over to the registration desk. He speaks to the nurse, and she tells him to have a seat, and he sits pretty close to where we are. And he said, is your son sick? I said, yes, he is. He's got a very high fever. We're very scared. He said, I'm a pharmaceutical rep, and I've brought some samples of medications that the doctor, maybe there might be something there in there that he might give you that might help your son with his fever. And I said, I appreciate that. But we're also praying too. I believe that God uses medication. I do. I also believe that most importantly, we ought to pray and seek God's face first. And I said, we're praying about this too. Do you believe in prayer? And the man said, well, I do believe in prayer. He said, I'm a former pastor. I said, a former pastor? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'll just be real honest. He said, sin and some consequences and some failures in my life have caused me to have to resign and quit the ministry. And now I've used my college education and I've gone into business and I've become a pharmaceutical rep. And I said, well, that's interesting. He said, well, I don't miss the preaching. He said, I really don't miss the preparation for preaching, the hours and the grind it takes you to get ready. He said, I'll tell you what I miss. I miss the power of ministering to folks like yourself. I miss the power to pray. The effectivity that I had in my prayer life is gone because of failure. And I just cannot get it back. And I'm so miserable right now. Do you see the pain of failure? It is sad. And it's sad when the world sees the servant or the child of God who is trying to do something that they shouldn't do, trying to be someone they shouldn't be, trying to live a life out of the failure. Friend, I'm talking to somebody right now. This is on my heart heavily. You're living in failure. You said, you've done, I'm telling you, something that's hindering you from going forward, and it is a mess. There is a real pain that has developed from your failure. I think about Moses. Look back with me in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and I want to look with me in verse number 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. This is just after the fresh failure of Moses. Now listen. When Moses smote the rock twice, God still gave water. He's merciful. New mercies for us. He still provided a supply for the people that were in need. But after he did, verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not. Do you know what the pain of failure is? It's an unbelieving leader. Preacher Darren, I can't believe Moses had unbelief. You can mark it down. Unbelief is that you don't believe what God says, rather you believe what you say, rather you believe what you think, rather you believe what you want to believe. That is an unbelieving leader. There is failure in Moses' life because of unbelief. God said it in verse number 12. Also, the pain of failure is an unsanctified Lord. Look with me. Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. To sanctify. What does that mean? To set apart. They should have obeyed God and set God apart. And listen, if you'll put God, set him in your life in the place he deserves, in the place of honor, God will bless you. But when you fail and you get into unbelief, and now you've got an unsanctified God in your life, you're in trouble. Look at verse 13. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was, there it is, sanctified in them. God's going to get glory anyway. You better be the one to give it to him, because if you don't, I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. Not only do we see that, but look again in verse number 12. He says, therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. There is an unfinished labor. 40 years Moses has led the children of Israel through the wilderness. They're ready to go into the promised land. I'm talking to somebody, 40 years of ministry, getting ready to go down the drain. Here, he's ready to go in the promised land, and now his ministry is marred by one moment in the flesh. You may say, Pastor Darren, what's the big deal? I mean, all he did was smite the rock twice rather than speak to it. What's the big deal? Failure is a big deal to Almighty God. But I have good news for you that have failed, for you that are going through these insecurities of failure in life. God has a word for you. Now, I want to read out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 3. Deuteronomy, chapter number 3. Turn there with me. Deuteronomy, chapter number 3. I want to look at verse number 25. Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse number 25. Here's Moses. Here's what he said. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Now he's asking God, after God said, you shall not go. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses says, Lord, please let me go. Verse 26, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over Jordan. There you have it. He begged God, God, please change your mind. Listen, let me tell you something. There are consequences for failure. Yes, but I have good news for you. Thirdly, there is the pardon for failure. The pardon for failure. You may say, Preacher Darren, what is the pardon for failure? Well, I just want to take time to read out of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, we know that Joshua is where we see that real change of leadership begin to take place. Listen what God's word said, the Holy Spirit being our author. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Interesting. What did God say? God spoke to him about Moses. And what did God call Moses? He called Moses the servant of the Lord. He said, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, there's pardon for failure. A couple of things. Let's think about the Lord's memory. God did not say, Moses, the failure. Moses, the disobedient servant. Moses, the disappointing servant. Moses, the rebel. Moses, the fallen. Moses, the disgraced. No, God called him Moses, my servant. Why? Because God has forgiven Moses and God has forgotten what he's done. Hey, Joshua knows what's happened. The children of Israel knows all about what's happened. But God does not bring it up. God does not rehearse it over and over and over again. God has forgiven it and God has forgotten about it. Unlike some who they bring up every past mistake, every misstep, every wrong decision, every misplaced word, every single failure that someone else has committed. Hey, why serve the devil? He doesn't forget. Why serve the world? They don't forget. Why serve the flesh? Your rotten, stinking, guilty flesh will never forget this. But in God's mercy and in his grace, God forgives and he overlooks the failure. I want to say hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 3 says that his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah, going into captivity into Babylon, he is discouraged and he's bitter and he's struggling, but he's remembering the mercies of God are new every day. The mercies of God to Israel, the mercies of God to Moses, the mercies of God that were good for them will be good for Jeremiah. Friend, I have good news. The mercies of God, praise God, the mercies of God that were good for them are good for you and I right now. His mercies are new every morning. God took away all my sins. Woo! And he took away all my failures. And he just washed them away. I want to read you a scripture out of the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You mean God just, let's talk for a second. What does that word really mean? That word remember. Think about a lawyer. Say we had a lawyer, and there's been a death in the family, and we're going to read the will. And all the children, say there are four children, all the children are brought in before the lawyer. And the lawyer says, I'm reading the will. Your father has left you this, and your father has left you this, and your father has left you this, and the fourth child, you are not remembered in the will. Now, what happened? Did the father not remember he had one, two, three, four children? No, he remembers he's got four children. It's that he didn't put anything to the account of the fourth one for whatever reason. What does that mean? God's saying, I'm not going to put sin, your sin, glory to God, your failures, I'm not going to put them to your account. When you come to Jesus, you turn this thing over, the things you said and the things you did, when you turn it over to the Lord and you repent of it, God says, I'm going to put it to the account of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus just washes it all away. Hallelujah for the pardon of Almighty God. Let me just say this right now for somebody who's failed. God has not changed his opinion about you. God does not love you less today than he did before. Yes, there are consequences for sin. Moses did not get to go into the promised land at that point in time. And hear me, there are consequences for sin and for failure. But God forgives and God forgets. Yeah, but God, Moses begged God, let me go anyway. There are consequences for failure, but God forgot and forgave and moved on. Those consequences did not change. I want to say, I have this on my mind. For some of you right now, that there's been past failure, past problems, that bitterness has crept in. You may say, oh, no, I'm not bitter about it anymore. It's not an issue anymore. Come here, I want to tell you something. The evidence that you're not bitter anymore is that you don't bring it up. But if you're still bringing it up, there's still bitterness. It's amazing how if you disappoint some people, they're done with you. They're finished with you. It's kaput. It's over. But with God, failure does not have to be final. You can come to him and say, oh, God, will you forgive me? God, will you restore me? And God will forgive. God will forget. He'll take the failures and lay them on the account of Jesus Christ. Praise God for it. That's the Lord's memory. I want to think about the Lord's mercy. Now, it surely cost Moses to sin. Failure cost him something. It'll cost you when you fail. It's painful. It's problematic. It's serious. It's a very sad thing. Moses lost the land, but he did not lose the Lord. Amen. I still have my relation with him. I want to turn over the book of Hosea. I want to read something. I was reading earlier this week in Hosea chapter number 11, just arbitrary verses, but it's interesting to me, just to tell you how God deals with people who get in failure. Hosea chapter 11, verse number 3, listen to this. I taught Ephraim also to go. What does that mean? As a father, think about how you would take your children's hand and you hold their little hands and you help them, guide them as they walk. Maybe as they ride a bicycle. Remember my daddy teaching me to ride a bicycle. I didn't have training wheels. Man, he put me on that bicycle and he put his hand on me. His hand was my training wheels. His hand was my training wheels when I walked, my training wheels when I rode a bike. Hear me right now, friend. I'm telling you, God taught Ephraim how to go. God taught Ephraim how to go. But what did Ephraim do when it was time to go? He walked away from God. He didn't walk with God. He walked away from God. Now what's the father? What's God going to do that Ephraim has walked away? Same chapter, Hosea 11, I just read verse 3. Look at verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Amen. There's the voice of God. There's the heart of God. What do we mean, Preacher Darren? How's God going to give you up because you have a moment of failure? God's not going to give you up. He taught you how to go. He raised you up. He's taught you to walk. Though you've walked away, though you've failed, God's not going to give you up. He's still with you. Hear the voice in the heart of Almighty God. Well, some will say, well, Moses never got to go into the promised land. Well, I want to read about the New Testament. Luke chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ being upon this earth, the Bible says he took with him three of his disciples in the book of Luke chapter 9. I want to look in verse 28. He goes up, the Bible says, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and he went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Don't tell me Moses never got to see it. Moses was with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses saw the glory of God. Moses didn't just see the promised land. Moses saw the promise in the promised land. Jesus is that promise. I'm talking about someone who failed God. I mean a disappointing, bitter failure. I'm talking about a moment of flesh right at the end of his ministry. Oh, God's done with him now, the devil says. Oh, he's finished, the flesh says. The world says, look at him, he's flawed. But what did God say about his failure? Thank God, failure is not final with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reading today. I wanted to look up the last time I see Moses in the Bible. You know where it is? Revelation chapter 15. During the tribulation, the name Moses comes up, and I want to read about it. Revelation chapter 15. Now, I want to talk about, we're talking about the Lord's memory and the Lord's mercy, and now we're talking about the Lord's mention. The last time Moses is mentioned. Chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. What about that? During the tribulation, the saints of God, they're singing the song of Moses. That's not the song of a failure. That's the song of the victor. And look at the company he's in. Read on. And the song of the Lamb. What about that? Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in the same sentence in the last mention of Moses' name in the Word of God. I thought that was very important. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've messed up. I've gone too far. I have failed. Well, Preacher Darren, it's not the greatest failure I've ever committed, but I've really messed up. And the devil's telling you right now it's over. You're finished. You can't go forward. I'm going to ask you to do something. Will you give this failure to God? I mean, what are you going to do with it? You'll make a bigger mess with it. Give this failure to God. Confess it to him. So, Lord, I've failed. He already knows. Repent of it. Turn away from it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a word for you out of the book of Lamentations chapter 3. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Today, it's new mercies for you. For you that have failed, new mercies for you. Preacher Darren, how do you know? I've experienced it. Hey, hallelujah. The mercy, the new mercies of Almighty God. Let's pray. You may be sitting here right now listening to me, maybe in your car, you may be just getting off from your job, you may be getting ready to try to get supper ready, or friend, if you're not saved, why don't you get saved right now? You know you're a sinner. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Why don't you ask him to save you right now? Friend, if you've got a failure in your life and you're a Christian, boy, how sad. Failure in your life. Time to move on. Time to go forward. Only when you confess this to God and ask him for his help. So right now, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are the God of new mercies. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have taken our failures and washed them away. And God, you've granted us new opportunities, greater opportunities, new opportunities you've given to us. And we're undeserving and unworthy, but we praise you and we honor you. We love you, Lord. God, I believe right now there's somebody, Lord, they're going through failure. I believe there's somebody. They've got somebody in the family. They're going to send this message to them right now and say, you need to listen to this. Oh, yes, it's for them. Yes, God, you have them in mind. I don't know who they are, but you do. God, would you help them to come to the cross of Christ? Would you help them to come to the realization, I need the help of God to get past this failure? God, would you give them new mercy? And God, would you give them your grace? Would you forgive? Would you forget it? And just like you said with Moses, who had failed, Moses, my servant. Oh, yes, the servant of Almighty God, living in victory. God, I ask your blessing now. Your help in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.